talking about who we are in Christ, and Cheryl was talking about that a little bit. And I think your days would be a lot more exciting if you understood the relationship we have with Christ. And this is extremely important because this is not just another Sunday. And tomorrow's not going to be just another Monday. Because I think when you begin to realize this whole thing, God relates it to a marriage. And the interesting thing is that God has said to you, I want to marry you. That's what Jesus said. He said, I want you to be my bride. And so then it's up to us to make a response. Now, God really basically says this to everybody, but not everybody responds, interesting enough. They just don't respond. And for anybody to think they're going to get up on Monday morning and say this is just another Monday morning, I would say that's somebody that doesn't understand the Christian life. Because the Christian life should be getting more exciting all the time as the day approaches. I said as the day approaches. You see, you have all these wedding programs on television. It's very interesting. And I'll tell you, when they get ready for a marriage, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of preparation. But it has to start at a certain place. Whenever somebody tells me they just really don't know when they were saved, I say, I can tell you if I go over your life and you're a Christian, I'll be able to tell you there was a certain place where you said I do. Because when somebody asks you to marry them, and you may have a bad taste of marriage in your mouth, but that isn't God's fault. Because his whole thing is based on a marriage. He came down to earth to make a proposal to you. That's exactly why he came. And when you begin to think about this in this way, then you begin to understand what this Christian life is all about. And you begin to understand that tomorrow you can prepare for the marriage and the next day you can prepare for the marriage. And you're growing and you're preparing and you're getting information and you're getting ready for this ceremony, which is going to take place in heaven according to the word of God. So the rapture is just the place where the groom comes for the bride. That's what the rapture is all about. And so then we'll go up and stand before the Lord, and we're going to be evaluated for how we prepared for the marriage that we have said that we want to be involved in. He says from the very beginning he wants to be involved. And that's what this whole Bible is talking about, our relationship to God and specifically our relationship to Jesus Christ. It is special. It is intimate. It is exciting. And if somebody gets up tomorrow and say, oh, this is just another Monday, then I would look at my relationship to the Lord. Because every single day is an opportunity to grow and prepare for this wedding, for this ceremony that we're going to have with the Lord. Now, it says in the Bible in several places that God chose you. In other words, he came and said, I want to be close to you for the rest of eternity, not just for now. Aren't you glad this now isn't all of it? You see, this is just a preparation time. This is before the wedding. We haven't even started the marriage yet. In a sense, the contract in a Jewish wedding, when you had the proposal and it was accepted and the contract was made, you were married, it just wasn't consummated yet. You didn't come together yet. That is yet to come. It is going to happen. If you're preparing now. God says, I love you. In fact, God created you to love him and to love other people. That's why you were created. How's that working? I said, God created you to love him and to love others. And if that's not true in your life, then something's wrong someplace. Because God is love. So he came, and the wedding proposal was that old rugged cross on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And God said that His blood would wash us clean and wash us white as snow. I want you to look in the Scriptures and see where it says this. I'm not making this up. Look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. We're going to look at a lot of Scriptures real quick. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him. Let's say that. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We're working on the holy and without blame right now, you see. But that says right there that God chose you. So I can tell you right now, you're in this place, God has chosen you. Now, the response to that is to say, we have to choose God back, if you want to put it that way. If somebody asks you to marry them, you're going to have to say yes or no. And so God has put it out there. He's put it out in the Word of God. He's put it on television. He's put it on radio. He's put it in churches. He has put it all over the world through missionaries and other things. The proposal of God is being spread all over the world. And people have to respond, yes or no. You see, that's the issue. And Jesus said, this is how you respond, yes. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, and I'm going to add, with Jesus. You see, He said, that's the way you propose back. You have to come through the cross. You have to come through the cross to accept Christ's proposal. There's no other way to do it. If there was, I would tell you, Jesus would have told us. But He said, you have to be born again. You have to be born into this. And that's interesting. And it goes on there. Let's look at 1 John 4:9. 1 John, not John. 1 John 4:9. I'm going to try to show you what it says here. Okay. It just says it a little differently here. But here's what it said. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, or our sacrifice for our sins. And that's a proposal right there. That's what that is. God, Jesus Christ died for every person on this world, but not every person is going to respond. Now, Romans 5:8 says, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I'm here to tell you, God cannot marry somebody full of sin. He can't marry, if you want to put it this way, a bride that has dirty garments. So we're in the process now of learning to make a garment that's acceptable to God as He works in our life and cleans us up and prepares us on a daily basis, because I guarantee the day is coming. I'll guarantee it. I don't care if it's 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 5 minutes from now, the day is coming. And so every single day that we have is designed to prepare us for the coming of Jesus Christ and our marriage to Him. That's what this whole thing is all about. Now, religion says, just to throw you off, religion says that we choose God. But if you study the Scriptures, you'll find out that's not true. Nobody can choose God that God doesn't choose first. You see, it's impossible. So, God chose us. He called us before we accepted Him. In John 15:16, it says, you did not choose me, But I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. That's what the Word of God says in John 15, 16. He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Don't ever think that come to the place, okay, we choose God. We chose you, God, so now you got to do something. That's not the way it is. God chose us first. We have to respond to him. In other words, when God chose us, he knew our past, he knew our present, and he knows our future. He knows every single thing about us. In fact, the Bible says that every thought, every word, and every action is recorded in heaven. Every thought, every word, every action of every person, even lost people, is being recorded in heaven. Every bit of it. So he knew us before he chose us, the Bible says. He chose you not in the condition you are now, but what you're going to be in Christ as we grow and mature in him. That's the important part. So he knew all about us. He knew our failures do not surprise Jesus Christ. He knew about them beforehand. How many ever married somebody that was perfect? And don't tell me about it. We haven't got time. But anyway. God chose us because he wants us. He desires us. He wants us to be with him forever. You see. And so that makes you very precious to God. Extremely precious to God. Now. You know, nobody's perfect, and we confess that and we keep moving. We confess that and we keep moving. We confess our sins and forsaking them. We confess our sins and we are cleansed of them by the blood of Jesus. And we keep on moving every single day. We're moving towards Christ. We're moving towards this marriage ceremony. We're preparing our garments. We're preparing to be with him. Now, here's what the world says, and here's what Satan says. The world says God is not love. He's your judge. Isn't that right? He's your judge. Well, the Bible says he's both, but first he's love, and that's important. Now, I want you to repeat this after me if you so desire to do so, because you have a will. You can make a decision of anything the Word of God says or anything I say. And here's what I'm going to ask you to repeat. I am God's personal choice. He created and redeemed me because he wanted to. He knew all about me. Not only my past, but my future. He chose me, knowing all about me. He saw value in me. He called me. He will complete me in what he began. I am incredible worth to God. So, what the word of God says, he chose you. Now, it's not all in your camp, but you have to say yes before anything can proceed. And when you say yes, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then you begin the process. I want to emphasize, begin the process. It's just the beginning. Now, I'll explain a little bit how it works by talking about some natural things. If you saw a vase at some place, maybe a garage sale or maybe an auction or something, and you knew that vase was going to be worth $100,000 in 10 years. And they had a price on the vase of $50. And so you buy the vase and you take it home. But now remember, you paid $50 for it, and in 10 years it's going to be worth $100,000. Do you think you just throw it over in the corner in a pile of junk and just leave it there for 10 years? What do you do with it? You clean that thing up. you carefully pack that or you put it in a place where it's going to be protected, and you're going to care for that thing for 10 years because you know its worth. And that's exactly what God wants us to do with our souls. That's how valuable they are. Because your soul, which is actually you, is going to be in the presence of God forever at the marriage ceremony. You see. I want to explain that to you because most people throw our lives over in the corner someplace as though it's a piece of junk when God said, you have the greatest potential of anybody in this world because God chose you. And you have some time to get cleaned up and get prepared and get ready for what God wants you to do. People buy stock because they buy it at a low price with the hope that it's going to get a better price. Well, when Jesus calls us, we're at a pretty low price, most of us, but he sees the potential in us. He sees what coming to church on Sunday, learning the Word of God and praising the Lord does to your soul. He sees that you're in the Word of God and washing your soul daily in the Word. And he sees you're preparing and you're preparing the garments and you're bearing fruit and you're doing good deeds in the love of God and you're getting ready for that wedding ceremony. When you became a Christian, you received everything you need to be like Jesus, but you have to work it out in your life. That's what Paul meant by saying you have to work out your own salvation. He didn't mean you got saved by works. He meant you got saved, and then by works, you worked out what God has potentially put in you. That's what it's talking about. So you just don't get up on Monday and say, this is the same old day. This is just same old Monday. Oh my, I'm just waiting for Friday. No, what you do, you get up on Monday and say, I got potential in Jesus Christ today to grow and prepare my garments and get ready for Jesus Christ. And then you come on Sunday and just celebrate the whole thing. You see, I've had people complain, oh, the service goes too long. This goes too long. Listen, if we knew what God had for us and how important this is, we'd be here all day long and cater our dinner. You understand what I'm saying? And they used to do that. Of course, back in those days, sometimes they only met church once a month, so they'd stay all day because they wanted to get everything they could in that one day that there was. But we're preparing for something. We're getting ready for something. We have a purpose to get up every single day, you see. So it's because God chose you. He loves you. So if you have a newborn baby, you're going to take care of that baby. You're going to feed that baby, clothe that baby, give that baby a bath. You're going to have perfect care of that baby. And your soul is that baby when you get saved. And you got to nurture it. And you got to feed it. And you got to prepare it. And you got to be ready for it, and so forth. Now, every day, every single day is important. I guarantee you this is not just a regular Sunday. This is a day where we're taking in the Word of God. We're getting ready for this. We should be better at the end of this day than when we started. We should be more full of God at the end of this day than when we started. We should be looking at the priority of our life and everything else will fall into place. But instead of worrying about every little detail of life, we ought to be worried about the purpose of life, which is being with Christ forever. That's our purpose. That's what we're here for, is to prepare for this. Now, we fellowship with the Father. We fellowship with the Son. We fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We get to know these. Look in 1 John 3:2. You should be there. 1 John 3, chapter 2. Now look at this. It says, it keeps talking about this in the Bible. That's what the Bible keeps saying. 1 John 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the children of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And so you have to focus on Christ now. When you see him as he is, you start to become like him. We all have the potential to be like Jesus Christ. Every one of us has that potential, you see. We have the ability to see into the spirit world because we're children of God, you see. You look in the Bible and you look particularly in the Old Testament and you see where prophets saw into the spiritual world. They saw angels and they saw all kinds of things in the spiritual realm. And so God wants us to start looking into the spiritual realm to see as he does. And he's going to give us the ability to forgive and begin to clean up our life. And to give and to encourage and to walk in holiness and walk without sin. Peace comes from walking in the potential that God has for you. That's how you know you're on the right track. That's where the peace of God is. It's not on anything in this earth. It's on knowing that you're moving in the direction that God wants you to go. You see. You know... And what Satan does, he said, oh, you just can't live up to that Christian or you can't live up to the other Christian. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to live up to what God has called you to be, not what somebody else is doing. That's not important. Praise God that he's using them. But he can use you in the very same way. Now, what we are called to do is to be Jesus to the world. We are to be as Jesus on this earth to the world. How are we doing? That's what we have been called for, designed for, and chosen for by God. And now, this is put in every single person that's born again. That desire is in there, but you have to play it out in life. Look in Romans 8, 29. There is a progression, or there is the way you're supposed to grow in Christ, and it's right here in these verses. I want you to look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Now, it says, whom he did foreknow, or we can put it this way, whom God has chosen. He also did predestinate, or put in a plan, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the plan of God is to make you like Jesus Christ. That's his plan. That's what he's working on. That's why you're still on this earth and breathing. There's no other purpose to be on this earth, to take up space and breathe and all that stuff. That's not why we're here. We're here to be conformed to the image of Christ over a period of time, day by day, growing in Jesus. And so, but when Jesus comes, we'll be so much like him, it'll just be one terrific ride when we get there. You see, and that's what it is. He wants to make everybody like Jesus Christ. They ought to have a thing at every funeral. They ought to say, how did this person do? Are they like Christ? Don't you think that wouldn't cause some problems? But that's really the whole issue. There is no other issue. You can talk about what the person did and how great he was, and he served in the military, and that's all good, and he did this, and you can go on all this kind of stuff he did, but the point was, did he do the main thing, which was learn to become like Jesus Christ on this earth? If you want to know where to start, just go to the book of John and see what Jesus said and see how you're doing. see. That's the way you do it. Jesus spoke to us. He spoke to the disciples and he said, okay, guys, get this. This is the information. Now go teach other people. And they didn't understand it until he died and went to heaven and the Holy Spirit came. Hallelujah for the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is Christ with us now, teaching us how to prepare for the wedding ceremony. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. And you got some people that avoid the Holy Spirit like the plague, and, you know, like something's going to jump on them and do some kind of damage. I don't understand that sometimes. But I was probably that way at one time. But praise God, God didn't pay any attention to me. He jumped on me anyway. And praise God he did, you see. So now we can tap into this. And he says, begin to learn how to behave and to think like I do. That's what God says. And so he puts it in the Bible, and that's what we're studying. And this is all based on the promise of God. What great value your soul has. My. So it's a matter of accepting God's plan for you. God's plan in heaven. God's plan for the now. I'm going to read something here. I'll ask you to let me read it first. It's a little bit lengthy, but I think it's important. Seeing the valuable potential in myself is an act of faith. I will not overreact to my wrong behavior and therefore reinforce it. I am able by God's choice to see the best in me by believing the best about myself. I am able to bring out the best because God made me, saved me, and indwells me. I have unlimited potential. I am even now a child of God. And I know that he, when he appear again, I'll be like him. For then I shall see him clearly. For now I accept by faith what he promised. I see my incredible worth as a person, the potential of my soul. This makes me more a valuable person who needs to be cared for properly, carefully, and regularly. Now, the point is, it doesn't make any difference what some person says. It's what God says. Because you're going to be with him a lot longer than you're going to be any person on this earth. So it's important what he says, not what somebody else says. God said, you are of great value, you have great potential, and I, as you prepare for me and prepare for the wedding, I want to be with you for eternity. I can't say that enough. Let's say this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I see the valuable potential in myself. It is an act of faith. I will not overreact to my wrong behavior and thereby reinforce it. I am able, by God's grace, to see the best in myself. By believing the best about myself, I am able to bring out that best. Because God made me, saved me, and indwells me. I have unlimited potential. I am even now a child of God. And I know that when he appears, I will be like him. For then I shall see him clearly. For now, I accept by faith what he promises. I see my incredible worth as a person, the potential of my soul. This makes me a valuable person who needs to be cared for properly, carefully, regularly. So, you know, we take such great care of our bodies. We make sure we have clothes on. We make sure we take a shower. We make sure our hair is combed and or put up or whatever. And we do all that stuff, but many times neglect our soul, which is more important than anything else. That's what we think, what we say, and what we do, who we are. It is our soul. It is, you are not, when you go to heaven, you're not going to get a new soul. Now, some people teach that. Oh, it doesn't make any difference how I live now, because when I go to heaven, God's going to give me a new everything, and I'll just, voila, be like him, and it'll be no problem. That is absolutely wrong. It's not going to happen. The only thing new in heaven you're going to get is a new body. Praise God for that. But the issue is, you're not going to get a new soul. Your soul's going to have all this information from earth. Your soul's going to have all this stuff you're doing. You say, well, that's not going to be good. Start today to make it good in Jesus Christ. You have to do something. You have a new baby, guess what? It's going to change your life. Well, I'm going to tell you, you got a new potential in Jesus Christ of your soul. And your soul is like a newborn baby. And that soul needs to be taken care of, nurtured, clothed, blessed, filled with the right information, you see. Because we have to prepare for this. You have to understand, you're a permanent human being. God's not going to change the fact that you're a permanent soul. That's not going to be new. It's only new as you receive the Word of God now and allow it to cleanse your soul and prepare you for life. Now, if you only had one car and knew it was the only car you were going to have the rest of your life, guess what? You'd take care of it. I remember during the Second World War, a lot of you don't even know what that was, but I was a kid and my dad had the same car for 20 years. It was the only car he had. He couldn't buy another car. You couldn't buy a car. You either took care of that car or you were walking or riding a bicycle, because there were no cars available. They used all that metal for the war effort. No new cars. No such thing. I know it's hard to imagine. Television would have gone broke because there had been no car commercials, you see. But there wasn't even television in most places back in those days. But the fact is, my dad had the same old car. It was a 35 Ford. It was built in 1935. We were still driving that thing in 1950, in the 50s, because you couldn't buy a car, you see. And he took care of that thing. He redid the engine. He did it all himself. You fixed the brakes yourself. You did all this stuff yourself. You took care of that car because that's the only way he could get to work. His work was 7 miles away. And there was no buses, no nothing to get there. So he had to have a car. He took care of that thing. And, you know, there's some people buy a car, they don't even drive it in the wintertime because they don't want to get any snow on it or anything. And they cover it up with a cover and sometimes put it in the garage or something and don't bring it out till spring. Now, obviously, that's not the only car they have. But the issue is, we ought to be taking care of our souls. It's the only one you have and the only one you'll ever have for eternity. So don't get this idea you're just going to go to heaven and voila, you got a new soul and everything. Not true. Because you got to take care of it now. You got to prepare for it now. And I'm going to tell you, we live in a throwaway society. You buy anything, don't expect it to last too long because you're supposed to throw it in the junk and buy another one. That's the way they make things today. But I'm telling you, your soul's not made that way. It's eternal, whether it's in heaven or hell, in the marriage ceremony or outside of the marriage ceremony. Your soul is going to be your soul forever. It is eternal. When God put a soul in you, breathed that soul in you, it was eternal. It's a part of you that will live forever. It will never die. Take care of it. you see. It's permanent. It's the only you. Now, some people do throw away their souls. They throw them away. They'll end up in eternal hell forever, and that's called the second death. But really, their soul never dies in hell. This thing about, you go to hell and you go through the fire and you do all this stuff and then you cease to exist. I'm sorry, that's not true. Your soul is going to be in that fire forever. That's why every time I talk to somebody and they say somebody died, I always say, were they a Christian? Oh my, I hope so. My. I can't imagine being in hell forever, you see. And some people believe, when you die, you're going to turn into this super saint. You rip off your shirt, and it's a big S there, and it's super saint. Hallelujah. I'm in heaven. That's what a lot of people believe. So they live, they don't take care of their soul. They just, they go into the, I have to go to the phone booth. I forgot about that part. And you rip off your clothes, and super saint rides again. Hallelujah. When you get to heaven, Some people believe that stuff. That is not what the Bible teaches. Now, aren't you glad you came today? Okay, now, some people just believe it doesn't make any difference how you live on the earth. Go to church every once in a while, punch your ticket, and you're going to be okay. Don't worry about your soul. And it does make a difference how you live here. Some people believe when you die, then all the evil's gone and all the sin's gone and everything else is gone. And God brings down that heavenly vacuum cleaner and cleans up your soul and throws you into heaven and everything's okay. Not that way. Scripture tells us that eternity's not going to be the same for everybody. It's not going to be the same in heaven for everybody. It's going to depend on how you took care of your soul. I'm going to tell you, you could be on television preaching Jesus, but if you're doing stuff that messing up your soul, you're not going to be any better off than anybody else. You see, we all have the same opportunity. Every single one of us have the same opportunity. You're not going to be able to say so-and-so left me and so abused me and so did that. That's all bad stuff, but I'm just saying that's not going to be an excuse for not taking care of your soul. If you have a big problem this week and you're healthy, if you had the biggest problem you had, the more time you ought to be in church taking care of your soul. You see. And I'm just telling you the truth, the way it's going to be. I don't want anybody to get up there and be surprised. Now, so there's going to be different rewards, and I'm not going to take the time to get into all this. I'm going to close in a minute. But there's going to be different rewards for how you took care of your soul. Now, I'm sorry, that's the way it is. Everybody has the same opportunity. Everybody has a Bible. Everybody has a church if they want it. Everybody has Christian people. Everybody has an opportunity. There's different degrees in maturity. Some are going to grow more than others. You've seen people, they're 50 years old and act like babies. Well, we need to take care of our soul and grow and grow and grow and grow till Jesus comes. You see, as much as we possibly can. Now, it's how faithful to the assignment that God gave you. And I know if I asked today, gave a test, and I'd say, what's your assignment from God? Most of the people here would not be able to say what it is. How are you going to do something if you don't know what it is? You have to be in the Word of God. You have to be in prayer. You have to be in church. You have to be seeking God. Once we get saved, then you really seek God. You might have walked to God when you got saved, but after you get saved, you're going to run to Jesus Christ to learn every possible thing you can. And grow, and grow. Where our soul is capable of growing through eternity. But it's extremely important that we grow now. Matthew 25:1 said there was five foolish virgins and five blessed wise virgins. That ought to tell us something. I don't know about you. I want to be one of the wise ones. And I won't be a wise one just because I'm preaching. I'm going to be a wise one as to how God, I allow God to grow my soul. Preaching's not going to have anything to do with it. That's just, I might get a reward for that if I'm faithful to it. But the point is, I won't be any closer to Jesus. I'm going to be closer to Jesus according to how I let my soul grow in this life. Are you getting the picture? Okay. I'm just trying to tell you what it is. The bottom line is this. Somebody says, okay, what's the bottom line? Here it is. What we are and do here in this life has much to do with what happens in eternity. Now, I don't mean you have to preach to millions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about growing your soul in Jesus Christ. Maybe you will preach to millions. And once again, you're not going to get a new soul. You're going to have that same soul in a new body that'll last forever. Now, that doesn't mean your sin's going to follow you. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a difference between sinning and growing, you see. And so you're going to present your soul to God and say, here I am. We're going to be evaluated on how much we grew in the Lord. Everybody has a chance. One time I knew this preacher, and he believed that if you sinned, you had to get saved all over again. So his son, who he had a young son, this son was in his 20s, and he'd been in church under his ministry, and the boy had accepted Christ and prayed and did all of that, but then he got away from it and he became a prodigal. And he ended up down in Texas, and he was working in a factory, and while he was there, a piece of steel fell on him, and 20 minutes later, he died. And I'm back in Rockford with his father. His father hadn't gone down yet. It just happened. And he said, I hope he accepted Christ before he died. He had 20 minutes to do it. I think he'd already accepted the Lord, but that's, I don't know that for a fact. But I'll tell you this, whatever he did, he's going to take a lot of schooling in heaven to get his soul straightened out. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't grow in the Lord. I always ask somebody, if I get to talking to them about Christ or the Lord or something, I say, where do you go to church? And they tell me I don't go to church. They say, well, you know, I just haven't found the right one. Well, one of two things. Either they're not saved, or number two, I know for sure they're not growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they're going to be disappointed when they get to heaven. I didn't say they weren't going. I said they were going to be disappointed when they get there. Because the Bible said that some will be ashamed at the coming of the Lord. So you have a soul. Take care of it daily, hourly, moment by moment. Your inner man should be getting better every day. Should be growing every day. You should be moving towards the Lord every day. You get up and say, Mo, I want to get in the Word as quick as I can get there. I want to get in the Word of God as fast as I can get my Bible open when you open your eyes, because I want to grow in grace and the knowledge. And that's spiritual food for the soul. One last thing, and I'm going to collect. You ought to say each morning, I'm going to read this and we'll say it. I am forever. There will not be another like me. There can be a changed me, but not a replacement me. God designed me to be forever. In my redeemed state, I chose to be developed or underdeveloped, but I will always be me. Part of my intrinsic and high value of my soul is its performance, its foreverness. Its permanence, its foreverness. I will take care of the only me I will ever have. I will take care of the only me I'll ever have. I want you to get this. All right, let's say it. I am forever. There will not be another me. There can be a changed me, but not a replacement me. God designed me to be forever. In my redeemed state, I can choose to be developed or underdeveloped, but I'll always be me. Part of the intrinsic and high value of my soul is its permanence, its foreverness. So I will take care of the only me I will ever have. I pray you'll take that to heart today. I guarantee you this is what life is all about. Preparing for a wedding. God is not going to marry somebody. Can you imagine? We've had a lot of weddings right here. And most of the time, the bride comes through that door right there. And most of the time, she got a beautiful dress on. And she looks spotless. She looks perfect. She has got it together. And here the groom's up here, and he is ready to receive his bride. Guess what happened? She came through that door, and there was mud just splattered all over that gown. And it was ripped down here in a few places. And she had on a pair of old beat-up tennis shoes. Can you imagine if we'd stand before God in that kind of condition? At the wedding of the Lamb? Let's stand before the Lord.